Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I broke the Baltimore Positive sweatshirt out. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road, doing our thing here. We will be at Fadley's Lexington Market on Wednesday. I'm also putting together some April stops with our friends at the Chaucer, among some other places. This guy, we'll get him back out for Crab Cake. We had a good time last week at El Guapo with a couple of his pals, Jane Miller and Rob Roblin. Johnny O stopped by. I had Alan McCallum stop by. We did the Merriweather Memories with Damian O'Doherty. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County executive and my partner in crime here at Baltimore Positive, joins us now for and we didn't recon last week, right? So it's been like a war in Ukraine last time we got together. Baseball was on strike. We didn't recon. Welcome to the recon. Don, what's on your mind here this week as spring has sprung and March Madness?
Well, I'll tell you, you said we didn't recon last week. And unfortunately, as we gather again, you mentioned war in Ukraine. War continues to rage in Ukraine. Since we spoke, President Zelensky addressed the Congress of the United States. Really one of the most memorable historical moments that I recall in recent history.
Have you watched Putin's speech by any chance?
I've seen highlights of it. I've not seen the entire speech.
I watched the speech on Wednesday night. I mean, look, we could talk baseball back and football and the Ravens are doing stuff and Pearl Jam's on the road and I'm trying to get to Europe to see my wife's donor and savior meet his wife. So we're trying to do all these things. But the backdrop of the war is that this guy's crazy, right? And we had a crazy guy here running our country for 4 years. You'll never get me off of that. If you voted for him, God bless you. But he's batshit. And this is further along that path where the Russian speech was translated in English, where you could read it in English, hear it in his voice. His left arm doesn't move. So there's a lot of speculation about a stroke. His left side does not move. He moves his right arm exclusively for 12 minutes. And he's saying awful things, right? Like just awful, cleansing, crazy things. And he has nuclear weapons, and he's actively dropping bombs on school children. I mean, like, this isn't someone you negotiate with. I've learned that people that are batshit, Don, you don't negotiate with them. You, in my case, you prune them. You just get rid of them. In this case, I don't think backing out of this is going to be a really good experiment, and he's losing a lot of people. A lot of kids are going back or not in body bags to Russia or never coming home. And we're not going to talk about what happened to Nicholas or Vladimir down there in our sovereign land of Kiev, right?
Well, he's bombing children's theaters and hospitals and schools. I think you touch on the number one dilemma that is still confronting the United States and the president, and that is, how do you deal with a madman? And, you know, I watched a number of senators in the wake of President Zelensky's speech, and, you know, there's it seems to me that the line that President Biden is trying to walk is a very, very difficult one. And I think some of the points that the senators on both sides of the aisle are making are valid concerns, I would guess. And they basically fall into the category of, we have to do more and we can't take options off the table. You know, it's interesting, Nestor, I was in discussion with some folks yesterday, and everyone was talking about, is there some kind of red line? And I suggested that perhaps the red line that would make the United States and NATO partners say, no, that's it, Article 5 aside, even though they're not a NATO partner.
Well, they're murdering children with bombs out of the sky, right? So I don't know what's next. They're not going to move in with concentration camps. They're just going to kill people, right?
Literally. That your point is exactly the one that several folks in that discussion brought up. And they said, I know it's difficult, but if bombing hospitals and schools and neighborhoods isn't a red line, what would make chemical weapons a red line? And I think that's the discussion that the West is having. Now, President Biden...
You're all for humane murder? Is that what we... Humane war is what we're trying to have.
I don't think it's that. I think it's... As someone said, the fact that he's a madman is of concern on a number of fronts. And someone on the call yesterday said that he gets very tired of folks referring to Putin as unstable. He said he's not unstable. He's an evil human being wreaking havoc and destruction on another nation. So he said, I reject unstable. I accept evil. Now, what President Biden has done masterfully is that he has carefully rebuilt, right, the European NATO coalition. They're united in a way that they have not been united in some time. The problem.
Well, we had a madman of our own here for 4 years going over there, spouting Putin's, you know, getting out of Paris, you know, basically going to Helsinki and said, oh, he told me the truth. You know, we had an idiot running our country for four years who literally spat in the face of 80 years worth of peace and negotiations alliances and relationships and economic relationships. I mean, all of that was thrown to the wind when he's pushing world leaders out of the way. I mean, he's a disgrace. He was always a disgrace.
And I don't, you know, my feelings on the former president.
We've had our own embarrassments. So taking the higher ground is very difficult to do. Yeah, you know,
but I don't think there's an equivalency. And you know, I'm no Donald Trump apologist. I think he did awful damage to this country that we'll be digging out of.
He was on Twitter in the middle of the night threatening nuclear war. It was just, you know, we looked at it and said, well, we've got checks and balances here. And then the insurrection happened, and he's down in Florida sunning himself and mouthing off and running around trying to get reelected again.
But I think it minimizes the current tragedy anytime we try to draw an equivalency between Putin and Trump. And again, I have no need for the former president, but it's a very,
he endorsed the invasion. I mean, we're 2 weeks out on that, and if we have amnesia about that, then I think we have amnesia about anything.
I don't think we benefit by making this about Donald Trump. I guess
I agree with that.
Much bigger than Donald Trump. Donald Trump should not even be part of this discussion.
But part of the problem here and part of him being impeached was because aid was not provided to Ukraine. And part of that is probably who knows what opens Putin's mind to march 200,000 troops to the border, say he's doing nothing, fake like he's doing nothing, 3 days later invades. Now he's murdering children, you know, wantonly with bombs 2 weeks into this thing. And we're still trying to figure out, like, you know, what the end game is here. What point does this stop? When he runs out of bombs or runs out of Russian kids willing to do the damage, right?
See, I think that's the issue. That's why I don't think we can mix the two. Because one of the things, unwittingly, and probably very temporarily, that Putin has done is that, for the most part, he has united the people of the United States of America in a way that they haven't been united in a long, long time. When everyone, save evidently Marjorie Taylor Greene and perhaps Laura Boebert and a couple others, stood up.
I bet Andy Harris is in on it too, but that's okay. We have our own local issue. I bet Andy Harris is in, you know, on that side too, but we don't hear much from him lately.
Andy Harris stood, no, I don't listen. Again, I'm no Andy Harris fan. I think Andy Harris stands with the bulk of Americans in opposing what Putin is doing and the
he didn't impose an insurrection on his own capital.
Well,
where he
again,
was inside,
I don't want to mix those two.
But you know, but I don't allow people to change their minds on things as important as national security. You're not allowed to feel one way last week and then another way this week.
Sure,
and say it was just
sure
okay.
You are people. Interest. I mean, people can certainly feel one way about an election and the big lie, and another way about Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine.
But when you stood in the room and endorsed this 3.5 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
But again, I'm saying that's wasted. That should not be the topic of discussion.
You're right. It's not stopping these kids from being killed today in Kiev, right?
It's
a miracle.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Fair enough.
You know, the January 6th Commission can continue to do its work, but that's not front and center right now. What's front and center right now is this conflict and how we respond. And, you know, I think one of the more reasonable Republicans who always speaks, and again, our politics are very different, but when Ben Sasse speaks, I pay attention. He's a thoughtful, what I will call, for the most part, traditional conservative, and he's a member of the Intelligence Committee. And when he speaks, I pay attention. And I think he outlined some pretty significant points in an interview that I saw. And that is, he highlighted, and I'll need to read more and find out more about this, that one of the reasons that we are very cautious about what weapons and in what amount that we're sending into Ukraine, not only is it that we need to try to go forward with our allies, which Biden's done a masterful job of putting that back together, but he claims that White House attorneys, the legal minds, are very, very cautious, as attorneys often tend to be, reading the fine print, suggesting you have to be careful about what are offensive weapons and defensive weapons. And I thought the strongest point that Senator Sasse made was that, let's be clear, any weapon, I would say to those attorneys, any weapon that we send to Ukraine at this point is a defensive weapon. They are under attack. Their women, children, families are being murdered in the streets by a madman dictator. That any weapons we can get in their hands are defensive weapons. So stop the parsing of words, and I think his way he put it is, if it shoots, get it to them. So there are ways that we can get more involved. And I think the bolder the president gets on that, I mean, I think he gets high marks from folks on what he's done so far. But we cannot let, and Nestor, I guess this is where we sort of conclude the Ukraine part of the show, and that is, we cannot let, it seems to me the West has concluded, rightfully so, that Putin cannot win. And what I mean by that is, he cannot permanently occupy the Ukraine. He cannot install a puppet government. This is that moment, and there are not many of them in history. This is that moment where the West has to say, nope. It is not going to happen. We do not expect it to involve American men and women on the ground. But short of that, anything we can do, we need to do. And if that's, you know, 5,000 drones, 10,000 drones, 20,000 missiles, I don't have a clue what that means in terms of firepower. But it seems to me that we've made a decision, rightfully so, that Putin cannot win. If he wins this time, then the world as we know it is forever changed.
Well, I was going to ask you about this because, like, you grew up a little more Cold War-y than I did. By the time I got around, you were my teacher, and we had bomb shelters in Colgate Elementary, the old Colgate Elementary. I remember my parents. I remember videos of bomb, you know, shelter stuff in the 60s and whatnot. You had a whole different experience with that in your childhood. Your mother with you guys did. And you know, those who saw mushroom clouds and in Japan. And you know, your grandkids haven't lived that way, right? I mean, your kids, Jeff and Jen, they haven't lived that way. So I haven't lived that way. This is a different thought where Madman's got a nuclear weapon. I mean, we the Rocket Man over in North Korea also has his issues, but how brainwashed the Russian people are, you know, watching their version of news, watching Putin in real time in his voice say outrageous things. You know, Gaddafi kind of nutball out there when he would show up at the United Nations and say bizarre things and hold court. There has to be an end to this. It's not nuclear war. And I think that on our side saying, don't incite him. I don't know that that's ever been a really good strategy with crazy people. Who's the craziest person you ever dealt with, and what did you do, and how'd you deal with them? I mean, think about it in that way.
No, well, yeah, I think I think hopefully
we've all known somebody really crazy.
Hopefully, it's a
and dangerous
different.
Too, right? We've all known somebody crazy and dangerous.
A little different than a personal interaction, but I think your last point was really well taken, and that was another that Senator Sass, Romney, and others have made, and that is the threat of nuclear war can't be used to paralyze your opponents. So the fact that we, you know, and again, I give the president high marks. The only different talking point, and I recognize that he had to tread lightly because of our allies, and he's done a masterful job, particularly bringing Germany on board that's been reluctant for many, many years to spend more on defense. I mean, he's done a wonderful job engaging. The only thing that I probably would have done differently to any question about how far we would go, I would have probably always said, just don't mistake the resolve of the American people. We take nothing off the table. I would have made it. And again, I know the danger in that statement and the danger in escalating a situation, but I would have.
Again, we had a president here for 4 years that tweeted nuclear threats in the middle of the night. It happened all ago. Go look it up. I know it feels like it didn't really happen, but it really happened. So we have gone way further in bounding on the table and screaming. We had a lunatic running our country for 4 years.
But that,
we did it
again,
all the time. And with no control, with no help, with no order, with no one in his ear except maybe Putin.
Well, again, I think we're trying to reset the presidency to an air of normalcy. Hopefully, regardless of who wins, hopefully we will not revert to the past president. Hope they'll take this moment, but that handful, that 30% or so, who, again, as I've pointed out ad nauseum, people are sick of hearing me say it, 30% have always been on the radical extreme. They've always been tempered by the 70. The only difference was they had a cheerleader in chief. And again, I don't want to minimize Ukraine. I don't want to spend an ounce of energy on Donald Trump when we're talking about the greatest crisis since World War II. Zelensky, again, invoking his, you know, Churchillian best. I thought, Nestor, and again, you know, you're an entertainer, you're a journalist, you get the showbiz side of things. I thought,
well, if you don't have people's attention, you don't have anything. You were a teacher, right? If the kids asleep in class, you got nothing, right?
We talk about a comedian being tested by the moment and rising to the moment. I thought two components of his recent speech. One, the injection of video, and then immediately after the video, dispensing with the translation and speaking to Congress and the American people in English. I thought, there's a gentleman who understands stagecraft. I mean, he sequenced it. He talked about moments of peril in the United States.
He's a communicator.
To 9/11. So, I mean, the battle continues. God bless the Ukrainian people, and we'll continue to do what we can. In the meantime, go ahead.
Dom Moeller here, former Baltimore County executive. We're going to be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I know you want to change gears here, and that's cool. I would say this. The one thing I've noticed the last couple of weeks is we're getting some normal things back, right? Like, I had a normal lunch with a normal executive, normal friendships. I'm going to Costas and having a normal Maryland Crab Cake Tour and normal Betty Boop lottery tickets. And I have not. You're much more touchy and huggy than I am. I mean, just, it's not that I'm not that way, but post-COVID, certainly my wife's illness probably changed a little bit of that from a germ perspective. I'm not handshaking, hugging, I'm elbow bumping, but I'm meeting with people. I'm trying to not be up breathing on people because I think COVID's still out there for sure. We saw Alan come in with a full mask, and because of his job and his family and his situation, medical and like all that. I'll just say this. Things are getting normal. Like, you went to a show the other day. Like things are getting normal, right?
I was going, you know, normal and yet abnormal. And what I mean by, first of all, a big shout out to our good friend Ron Legler at the Hippodrome, the Franz Marek Performing Arts Center. As you know, I am fanatical about Dear Evan Hansen. I tend to get fanatical.
No, let me stop you. No, I'm being serious here.
I'm not going to give you a spoiler alert.
Anything about it. Like, and I bought tickets the other day. We have great seats down in the orchestra on Saturday. Like, great, you know, we're going to have a world class Baltimore Hippodrome experience. Well, do not give me anything on the show. I don't even know if there's music involved. I literally know I am going don't spoil anything. I don't want to know anything.
A little bit. I'm going to tell you it's a musical. Okay.
Good.
That's as far as I'll go. Now, here's my normal abnormal piece. It was reference your normal. The Hippodrome is packed. This show is sold out. You cannot move in the theater. And it was such a Baltimore positive moment. I leaned over, we were with several other couples, and I leaned over and I said, wow, boy, this is truly a Baltimore positive moment to just see the smiling faces and people back together. And actually had another live entertainment experience this week I'll mention as well. But the abnormal at the Hippodrome, and again, hats off to them trying to keep everyone safe, get a member of the cast sick, and they'll have to cancel like they did, a recent production. I guess it was maybe Mrs. Doubtfire, one of the shows they had to cancel. But when you go Saturday, you and Jen, take your vax cards and take your mask. You need to show a vax card to get in, and everyone is fully masked. And folks walk around in the theater during the show even, and to see if you've taken your mask down, they'll say, very politely, please pull your mask up. So it's a reminder that we are not out of it yet. The good news, again, Nestor, not a spoiler alert for you. We were fortunate enough to see it on Broadway with the incredible Ben Platt. This cast that Ron Legler has brought to Baltimore is, I texted Ron as soon as the show was over last night. I said, every bit is good. This is a Broadway caliber production. As a matter of fact, one of the other couples I was with had also seen Ben Platt on Broadway. And they said, you know, I'll never take anything away from Ben Platt's performance. It was incredible. But this young man is every bit as good. This cast from top to bottom is spectacular.
So I don't know anything about it, and I love that I don't know anything about it. My wife and I almost went to see it on Reputation in New York three summers ago. Like, it was there. It was a big show. We were there on a matinee like Wednesday. It was available. And we didn't go to another show. I think we just did something else. I think we just went and had like lunch, but we had looked at it and said, hey, you know, the price was right or whatever, to go see something. So it's shocking to me that 3 years later, I'm, you know, 5 minutes away from going and I know nothing about it. And I'm so excited about it. My wife's like, I've never seen you so excited about something. You have no idea. Usually don't buy into things where you don't know the songs or know any. And I'm like, you know, I'm going everybody tells me how good it's going to be. And the other thing I said to her, to your point about Ben Platt, and I don't know much about Ben Platt. You know me, I'm not an actor person or whatever. But I took your recommendation on going to see Network, right? And Bryan Cranston was the lead. And we bought tickets on a Saturday night in New York, had little low balcony seats on the flare. And I could have tossed a quarter onto the stage from up in the balcony where I was. And I know I told you this with Legler, and I'll tell you again. If I talk about it, the hair on the back of my neck will stand up. And the other thing about Network is, and I talked to my wife about this the other day, just randomly about getting tickets, the Network script and what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine right now, and sure, that the script hasn't been changed in 40 years, sure, and it's the same story. It's amazing. But that scene where Cranston dies, right, it's still like, it felt like Tom Brady to me. It felt like seeing Magic Johnson play when I was a kid, or Michael Jordan, or seeing Hank Aaron or whatever, right?
No, I mean, you did. You saw a Hall of Fame performance, same way people feel who saw Jeff Daniels in To Kill a Mockingbird, Hall of Fame performance. It's the reason that Linda and I went to New York last week to see Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick in the legendary Plaza Suite. Hey, real quick note before we get out.
So you saw, you're not just going to, I didn't know that. What did you, I knew you went to New York to see a show. I didn't know what you saw.
Well, we saw two shows. We saw Harry Potter, which people had recommended, and Linda's been a Harry Potter person forever. The special effects, folks, Ron Legler was one who said, Don, you're not going to believe the special effects in Harry Potter. And I'm going, okay, I guess. Well,
like a Disney ride?
Where everybody is correct. Right. Even the show is very compelling, but even if the show wasn't compelling, the special effects, you're going, holy crap.
I want to hear about Plaza Suite. Paul Simon? Hold on, dude.
Matthew Broderick, Sarah. I mean, they're probably in it, Nestor, I don't know, 6 or 9 months. You and Jen need to find time. Go up, see it in a matinee. Again, theater royalty, absolutely spectacular. But here's the interesting thing. We came back home and said, hey, let's put the old movie on with Walter Matthau. It was god-awful, almost unwatchable. It was a play that, to me, did not transfer to the screen. I thought Walter Matthau was terribly miscast, and I love Walter Matthau. But Broderick, Sarah Jessica Parker, the incredible words of Neil Simon, and it was great to see New York back to life as well. So, hey,
all right. Well, now you're talking. See, you're giving me recommendations here. This is what the recon's all about.
Don't miss that. But we've got a full day of shows, lots to talk about. We'll pick it up next week on the recon.
Don Mahler joining us here, former Baltimore County executive. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented, of course, by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have a new sponsor as well, our friends at Goodwill, and the local Goodwill folks will be telling their story as well about employment, putting people to work, and about all the stuff that I've given Goodwill over the years and gotten the little tax credit forms and all that good stuff. So big appreciation, Elise Rusiniak, Jonathan Baylog, and everybody with the Goodwill team as well. We're going to be spreading some Goodwill as well as some crab cakes. Don, I've got a Pete over at Costa is making me a crab melt Burke style with the Costas crab imperial and some cheddar cheese on a proper English muffin. And I'm going to have an ice cold. I wish he had a Michelob, you know what I mean? Cause that's what I used to get. I used to get a Michelob goblet, but I'm going to have an ice cold goblet of, I don't know, some Key Brewing positive mental attitude or something like that. So we're going to be at Costas on Friday, and Don's going to be joining me. By the way, what do we have at Lexington Market at Fadley's on Wednesday? We got some big guests, right?
Oh, we've got some big guests. We've got one of our regulars, Tharu Vignaraja. We've got Dan Rodericks, the one and only Dan Rodericks. And who knows who else may stop by. So stop down and see us at Fadley's Seafood Market next week.
I'm back on a crab cake diet, dude. You know what I mean? I'm plotting myself this in May, doing this city tour, and then I'm doing the whole state in August. So we're getting back on a horse. I'm Nestor.
I'm warning you up front at Fadley, and we got a lot of Ravens and Orioles to talk about next week. At Fadley's next week, telling Damey, I'm ready for some raw oysters. Gotta get them up, baby. The recon.
All right, I've never seen Don eat a raw oyster. This must be something here. I'm Nestor. He's Don. We are WNST AM 1570. The Wise Conversations continue at BaltimorePositive.com.